to the Sting of Stang, the only national talk show that lays bare the conspiracy for world government. From Rush Limbaugh, talent on loan from the Republic Crud National Committee, to the Communist Broadcasting System, to George Bush himself. Now, firmly ensconced in the prestigious honesty of the media chair at the trailblazing Republic Broadcasting Network, here is your congenial host, prize-winning author, investigator, novelist, and financial planner and champion of our Christian civilization, Alan Stang.
And thank you, Dick Fatherly, Billboard Magazine's personality of the millennium. Welcome to the program, fellow Canosexicans. Welcome to those of you, ladies and gentlemen, who are listening around the world in one way or another through the miracle of modern technology. This is the Sting of Stang. My name's Alan Stang. And our telephone number, if any of you Canosexicans would like to come aboard today's edition, 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it appears that my website, stangbooks.com, is presently under heavy enemy assault, heavy enemy attack. Apparently, the communist terrorists, part of the conspiracy for world government, who operate as front men, as Judas goats for the conspirators at the top, are in a fury, in a frenzy about the fact that on my website I have posted a possible evidence, possible indication, proof that the latest Smirk Clinton alliance, this would be Smirk Senior, Smirk Senior, President 41, Bill, drop your pants and inhale my cigar, Clinton. Remember, they were brought together by Smirk 43 to cooperate in relief efforts for the victims of the tsunami in the Far East. Now again, Smirk Jr. brings the two of them together as Papa Smirk and Clinton together again to work on relief efforts for victims of Katrina. And they formed a group to implement the plan. And you may remember, I mentioned this a while back. I think I mentioned this a few days ago over these microphones. What happened was they formed this group. And now it appears we've discovered that they may have formed this group on June 14th, is what the records seem to indicate. Now, June 14th would be 2.5 months before the hurricane. This would be before Katrina was born, wouldn't it? Hurricanes have a very short shelf life, very short lifespan. This would be before the birth of Katrina. Yet it does appear, at least superficially, that the group was formed 2.5 months before the hurricane, which raises all kinds of unsettling questions, does it not? And apparently, the enemy are bombarding my website because we have dared to post the information from Network Solutions, which may indicate, very well indicate, that fact. As we speak, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know any more about it than that. Of course, we're looking into it, and I'll keep you up to date, but that's where we are as of this morning's broadcast. Let's take a quick break here on the Sting of Stang. We'll be back with much more in a moment. Stay with me.
The rubber hits the road.
That's where it hits the road.
And then all our constitutional rights go in the toilet. All these things about trust, shelters, and so forth, that goes in the toilet. It'll be open civil war.
Exactly. Jeff, thank you so much for those incisive comments, as usual. Jeff calling up, calling from way up in the People's Republic of Massachusetts. Let's go to Austin, to Stefan, listening via the Internet. Stefan, you're on the air with Alan Stang.
Yeah, hi, Mr. Stang. How are you today?
Good morning. Very well. I hope you are, too. What can we do for you this morning, Stefan?
Well, there's something here about the stink of stunk, and that is the Mexican Army. Am I hearing this correctly, that they were on 183 and I-35 yesterday in a convoy heading toward Louisiana?
There have been reports, Stefan, yes, that a contingent of regular Mexican Army troops have been allowed to enter the United States. Now, this is separate. Maybe you remember, if you're a regular listener, that a couple of weeks ago, Stefan, my guest was Carrie Morales, Mrs. Morales, who lives on a ranch near Laredo, 54 miles from the Mexican border, inside Texas. And she, Mrs. Morales, regularly sees regular Mexican troops there in her area on her ranch, and they are there for two purposes. We interviewed her a couple of weeks ago. They're there for two purposes. One is to escort criminal invaders, illegal aliens, into the country, and the other is to safeguard the importation into the United States of various narcotics shipments. Now, this is what we're talking about now is something different. Now we're talking about the fact that our friends in Mexico are sending troops, not just doctors. They're sending doctors. They're sending various health officials.
I heard armed military personnel.
Well, now Stefan, I don't know. I can't clarify. The first time I read about this, it said that these Mexican regulars would be unarmed. But since then, as I just told Jeff, I read that they will be armed. I don't know which one is true.
Uh-huh.
But what we do know, Stefan, the part of it that we do know for sure is that they're here. Now, whether they're here armed or unarmed, I cannot report to you at this moment. I don't know.
They're armed and they're flying the Mexican flag outside their vehicles, traveling on our highways.
Yes.
And using our stores. Yes. And gas stations. And
of course, what I said when I first heard about this, Stefan, is this establishes a precedent, a little precedent, in the people's minds. This is the important thing, in the people's minds, so that this is a test. What we're seeing, all of this, New Orleans, this whole thing is a test. They're working out the bugs so that next time, when we have another disaster, natural or man-made, when many foreign troops are imported into the United States, people will say, well, yeah, that's right. We remember they did that before. Nothing happened. Remember, we had those Mexicans in here. This is just another example. It doesn't mean anything. See, this is what they want people to believe, I'm sure.
This is getting us used to the way things are going to be from now on.
Exactly, exactly. Accustoming you, acclimatizing you through these very skillful brainwashing techniques to something that would become a routine in the future, you see.
Yeah, you know, I knew this was a test, and I knew there was a lot more to this than the regular news media is letting out. I mean, I've heard the, you know, when you have companies like Walmart and these big corporations trying to deliver food, water, and clothes, and they're being turned away by FEMA, but we're only to accept help from these Mexican troops, military, coming in here, because I don't think Americans are going to fire on Americans after a while. They're going to have military, foreign military troops to go ahead and, you know, shoot the Constitutional Republic at large.
Well, remember, Stefan, if you put all this together, you put all the pieces together. We know, I'm sure you will remember, Stefan, that a few years back at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina, at 29 Palms in California, the Marines there were handed a questionnaire, which included a question: if Americans were told by the government to turn in their firearms and refuse to do so, would you fire on them? And the Marines replied, no. We would not. All right, so obviously they've got to go to Plan B, right?
Right.
The Marines we have now wouldn't do it.
That's why they're over in Iraq.
Well, maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why a bunch of them are in Iraq, yes. Stefan, thank you so much for your call. Very important point that Stefan raises here. Let's go back to the phones. Let's see what we got here. All right, let's go to the Lone Star State again. Let's go to Texas. Dale, listening at 96.3 FM. Dale, you're on the air with Alan Stang.
How you doing? I hate to throw water on the fire, but Kelly USA in San Antonio, building 171, where a lot of these Louisiana displaced people are.
Yes.
They received a Mexican field kitchen unit with three water purification units and a kitchen truck pulled by a Peterbilt. They are unarmed. They're being led by a general from the Mexican government or Mexican army, okay? They are all unarmed. They are here to help. They're doctors, nurses, and kitchen personnel. Remember we had an earthquake in Mexico City and we sent a bunch of people down there?
Yes.
This is payback for that. It's humanitarian support, okay? They did not go up on I-35 and 183. They went no further than I-35 up to San Antonio. They are at Kelly USA right now, the old Kelly Air Force Base.
Well, this is all great news.
If anybody wants any more information, all you got to do is open up the San Antonio newspaper or turn on your TV set last night, and they interviewed him extensively.
Okay, Dale, fair enough. And thank you for that report. All right, let's go back to the phones, ladies and gentlemen. Do we still have Dale from Texas with us? We don't. All right. A very interesting report from Dale, apparently from the San Antonio papers. So we know now that the Mexican troops went to New Mexico, apparently, and that they are unarmed, according to the San Antonio newspapers, and that this could be characterized, the visit of the Mexicans could be characterized as payback for the aid we gave to Mexico in the Mexico City earthquake. Well, yes, this is all fine, and Dale, you don't need to be worried at all about throwing water on any fire. I wish we could extinguish the fire, is my wish. I would simply add this fact. What you're telling us, Dale, are the facts separated from the context. Now, what's the context? The context is that we know that we are presently in a war for America. There is a front in Iraq, there is a front in Afghanistan, but the main front is here in the United States. We know that the conspiracy for world government is trying to bring our country to its knees, to destroy our independence, and to submerge us in a totalitarian socialist world dictatorship. We know all that. We are aware of the quotation attributed to, for example, to Henry Kissinger. He's not the only one alleged to have said this, that they would maneuver us, trick us into a situation in which we would beg for our own enslavement. We would beg for foreign troops to come in to conduct the suppression of the American people. And so in the context that is missing here, now the visit of these amigos from south of the border becomes suspicious. You see, that's all I'm saying. You have to look at all of these things in the context in which they are happening. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go back up to the People's Republic of Massachusetts. Let's go to Scott. Scott, you're on the air with Alan Stang, listening on the net.
Hi, Alan.
Yes, sir.
It's not an army unless they have arms. Does that make any sense?
Yes, it makes perfect sense.
Okay.
But
so
remember,
if they're not armed, it's not the army.
But let me make a point here, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
The point of this, I'm going to call it an intrusion, is
right.
not to conduct military activities.
No, it's to acclimate us.
It's just to get people used to seeing foreign military personnel here.
Right. It's the same thing that they did in the schools up here, looking for drugs all the time with the drug dogs up in Massachusetts.
Yes.
they're always going into the schools looking for drugs. And, I mean, they did drug searches at this one high school for, like, 8 years.
Well, the point is,
And never, ever found drugs, but they certainly acclimated those kids.
Exactly. After a while, it becomes normal, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it happens today, for the first time, everybody says, well, oh, look at this. Wait, this is, oh, my, did you know what? Well, now, if it happens tomorrow, the amazement is a little less intense, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it happens every day, you said for 8 years,
mm-hmm.
after a while, if it didn't happen, then it would become something to talk about. Did you know that they weren't there this morning? Why not? That would be the subject of conversation.
Right. But the bottom line is that this whole scene down there in New Orleans is just advancing the New World Order at an amazing pace.
At an amazing pace, exactly.
They even 9/11 didn't subject the American people to the kind of subjugation that is being experienced right now.
Well, remember,
in the great state of Louisiana.
Remember, Scott, 9/11 only destroyed a few blocks. The three huge buildings and a few...
Kevin Burns, one of the ones that was fired two weeks ago?
Yes,
From what this is saying is he dissented on the fact that NORTHCOM was hiring several thousand foreign troops into the U.S. military.
Well,
and they were strategically placing them throughout the United States.
Remember, this is a four-star general. You don't find... You know, there are only 11 four-star generals. 11.
Right.
Friend. Good call from John in Arizona. Let's do Sheldon first, and then to Jim in Kansas. So, Sheldon, welcome to the Sting of Stang. What can we do for you this morning? Sheldon in Arizona.
Hi, Alan. First-time caller.
Welcome aboard, Sheldon.
I have been listening to you for a few days now.
Thank you, sir.
And wondering, you had mentioned, I think, on your show from 2 days ago, an email message you received from somebody about a nationwide trucker strike, which was supposed to start after the 8th.
Well, yes, this was a message from someone who purported to be a member of the Teamsters Union talking about a trucking strike. Now, I talked with a friend of mine last night who is a professional trucker, an 18-wheeler, for many years. He says he's heard and seen nothing about any 18-wheeler strike.
Okay, I'm a truck driver myself with the Postal Service, and my dad is up in Wisconsin, and me or him haven't heard anything yet, so I was just wondering if you had heard more about it.
I haven't. The last thing I heard, as I say, Sheldon, was last night from my friend, a professional trucker for many years, who's all over the United States. He's an owner. He doesn't work for anybody. He travels all over the United States with his own 18-wheeler, and he tells me he's heard absolutely nothing about it. So I don't know where that stands.
Oh, actually, my dad did tell me this morning he had heard. My dad's been a trucker for like 25 years, and he did hear it did start in Canada, but he hadn't heard about it here in the U.S.
In
yet.
Canada, you say? Uh-huh. All right. Well, of course, we're watching it, and if the thing develops, I'll be sure to tell you about it.
Yeah, because without trucks, America stops.
Without trucks, many people, incredibly many people, are unaware that just about everything. I'm saying just about. Maybe there is an exception or two. Just about everything you buy in the supermarket is brought there on a truck. I mean, how would you think it gets there?
Right.
It gets there on an 18-wheeler, and then while you are asleep at night, in back of the supermarket, the truck pulls in and it's unloaded. You come in the morning. Everything, through the miracle of modern technology, is on the shelves for you to enjoy, but that's how it gets there.
Right. How many years have you been on talk radio?
Oh, Lord. Well, I wrote my first show. I wasn't on the air except once or twice when the host didn't show up 40 years ago. Then I had my own show, let's see, in Los Angeles. Let's see, when was that? I guess that was 84 to 87 on a station in Los Angeles. And now here I am again. I was on another network before this one, and here I am again.
Yeah, so I just discovered you. I was talking to my friend up in Wisconsin this morning. She used to hear you out in California. I didn't know you'd been on so long.
Yes. Yes, I'm very aged and decrepit, and I'm still here. My first job in broadcasting was at NBC in New York. There I wrote a radio show called The Texan Jinx Show. And let's see, then I worked at various 50,000-watt clear channel stations in New York Metro. Then I wrote the Mike Wallace interview at Channel 13 in New York. Those are just the bare bones of my resume. That of course is the same Mike Wallace who was a CBS one of the CBS prevaricators for 60 Minutes.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
one more thing.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of Derry Brownfield?
Well, isn't Derry on the Republic Broadcasting Network?
Yeah, and Genesis.
Yes. Yes. And Genesis as well. Yes, I've heard of him. Sure.
I just heard the tail end of his show this morning, and
yes.
He had some lady talking to him about people being processed in the detention camps up in Rhode Island and Nevada, Missouri. Have you heard anything about that?
I heard the tail end of that myself, but not enough to understand what the lady was telling us. If you stay with us for just a moment, maybe you can tell us the rest of what she said. I'd like to hear it myself. That's the first hour of today's edition of The Sting of Stang. Let's take a quick break. We'll wind this up for us, if you would. What did the lady say on the Derry Brownfield show? I heard the tail end of it, but not enough to understand what she said.
Yeah, I'm going to have to hear the rerun tonight on Republic or whatever.
Okay.
But I do remember her saying there were 250 refugees that would be processed into one of these military camps up in Rhode Island.
In Rhode Island, okay.
And I can't remember the name of the town.
All right, we'll certainly look into it. Sheldon, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
Welcome aboard. Good call from Sheldon in Arizona. Please keep listening. Call again. Let's go out to the Sunflower State, Kansas. Jim, listening on C-Band, it says here. Jim, welcome aboard. What can we do for you this morning?
Well, Alan, I cannot believe that Mike Wallace is a prevaricator.
You can't. Well, then you need to get with Jeremy in Pennsylvania. So,
well, you know what Jeremy reminds me of is Pavlov's dog.
You're talking about Jeremy?
Yeah, the caller that wouldn't believe in a conspiracy.
Or on an island within Rhode Island. So, you know, to add 250 more people on this island is out of the question. Which, incidentally, I'd like to say that my governor... I'd like for him to house these people on his part of the state,
What a creative idea.
Yeah, yeah. Don't just dump them over here, you know, close to the Navy base. From what I understand, because, again, this housing is independent of the Navy base. It's former Navy housing.
Yes.
So these people will be allowed to go and come as they please, come and go as they please. My concern, again, is health issues. As I've been listening to some of the various networks on the Internet, some of these diseases aren't going to show up until a month or so later.
Yes.
So, again, these people are going to be allowed to intermingle among the rest of us.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I don't want Louisiana's problems. Yeah.
I understand. All right.
And
well, Laura,
I know this isn't a Christian attitude. I believe in helping. I believe in sending the help to these people.
Yes.
So... I just wanted to get it straight. They aren't concentration camps.
I'm so glad that you called. I was wondering what you had said. Laura, thank you so much for your call. Let's take a quick break.
Thank you. I was just going to tell you the same things Laura just told you. And basically, she stole my thunder, so I thought I'd stay in the line so I wouldn't be rude.
Yes, go ahead.
It's former Navy housing, like she told you. And I had heard I was under the understanding there was 500 families that we're going to come here, but that was put on hold for now.
Yes.
I don't know why. But in any event, she pretty much told you everything I was
going to. As of now, well, the last thing I heard about the levees is there was a theory that a barge was driven into one of the levees, collided with the levee, and that opened up a big hole in that levee. But that does not explain all the other levees. Of course, there was more than one levee was breached.
From what I understand, there were seven.
As many as seven?
As many as seven.
All right,
seven.
Well, the barge theory cannot explain all these levees then.
No. There were seven levees breached. I heard this from Jim McCanny.
Yes.
And,
well, of course, I have nothing to say that happened for any other reason than the force of the water. I am not aware of any other reason even speculated about by anybody.
Well, I heard
I missed something.
There were 25 reports from someone that said that they had seen some of the levees being exploded by in the middle of the night by people, and now they are afraid. They're in hiding. They're afraid that they will be.
Well, all I could say, Rachel, is I haven't run into those reports. I don't know. If I can find them, of course, I'll take a look at them with great interest. As of now, my understanding is simply that it was the force of the water that destroyed the levees, and that could be an explanation.
But what they're saying is the force of the water couldn't have done it because it happened when you have a surge. That's the first thing that comes in is a surge.
Yes.
And then when that hurricane came around the other way, there wasn't enough power to break those levees. And
all right, well, I will look into it and report. Rachel, thank you so much for calling. Rachel calling from Colorado, listening on the network. Let's go.
And there is a report made at the website stewwebb.com on the radio program last night that 100 FEMA agents working for George Bush blew up the levees.
Tell me where that report is. Tell me where that report is, David.
If you go to stewwebb.com.
Stu Webb, yes, okay.
Okay, in the audio archives, he had a radio program last night, which was, if this is the 9th, then it was on the 8th, which was just last night, and it was a one-hour audio program in MP3 format, and during that program, Stu Webb made a number of allegations which will absolutely knock your socks off.
Let me just make a point here.
Sure.
Let me just make a point here, David.
Sure.
Anybody can make allegations, and I believe that he made, as you say, a bunch of allegations. As I understand it, as we speak at this moment, there is no shred of proof that I am aware of. Remember that I am aware of that the levees were blown. Now, if somebody comes up with evidence, then I'll believe that they were blown. But right now, again, allegations. I'm going to go to the website and take a look and see whether there is anything more there than allegations. But allegations are not enough to satisfy me.
Right. Now, comes what I was just going to say, which addresses, you addressed exactly the point that I was going to bring up next. Stu Webb's website has a tremendous amount of documentation on it, very official documentation that documents a long string, let's put it this way, a lot of criminal activity by the Bush crime cartel. They use that, I don't like to get off onto that because those kinds of words.
Let me say this. Say this, David. I will go to the site that you mentioned to me and take a look at it, and if I think that there's anything to it, in my opinion, I will tell you about it on Monday.
Okay, let me make one further comment, short comment. Two of the people are associated with Stu Webb. One is Tom Hennigan, and the other is Tom Flacco. You probably are already aware of these people.
Yes.
Tom Flacco has written an article saying that JFK was murdered on the direct orders of both Clintons, both Bushes.
Yes, I read that. By the way, thank you for calling, David. David in Indiana. Let's take a quick break. And we'll talk about that in just a moment here on this thing of Stan.
I just wanted to say, remember the reports of the Mexican army training near the border last month?
Yes.
They were seen digging and involved in military operations. What a coincidence, right? And then you've got, Dale was wondering why all this is happening. He can't, they don't have guns. I've talked.